we are now, we are recording. So this is episode 3, Matt and Andrew Make a Podcast.
That was the perfect intro.
I agree.
Perfect intro.
We just are saying numbers. The thing is, do people really want an overproduced podcast where it sounds like we know what we're doing? Because then they can't aspire to do what we do because we seem too cool.
Right.
We need to be down on their level.
Right. We are too cool. I just want everybody to understand, yeah, that we're dumbing it down so it makes it feel like everybody can do it.
Right. Kind of like whenever you're having sex and you go, if I last for 5 minutes, this bitch is going to think I'm Thor.
Yeah.
I got a nut at 3, so later on I can surprise her on her anniversary with 4.5.
Yeah.
Always sandbag.
It's like you always knew that guy at work. It was like, I don't do the best I can because otherwise they'll expect it every day.
That guy gets a raise too, and I never do.
Yeah. Fuck that guy.
That's true. Fuck that guy. We'll talk about Dion in a little bit. he's a great dude.
It got personal all of a sudden.
No, I love Dion. He's a barber now. He's cool. Look, he'd be the first to tell you, like, nah. I wasn't trying to work hard for $9 an hour.
Yeah.
He works hard now because he's getting fucking paid by the work. He's a barber now. He's a good barber. He gets paid when he does a haircut. We worked at Wayne's together. He was like, why are you fucking working so hard for $7.25?
Yeah.
I'm like, because I want them to know I'm worth $7.25. He's like, we're all, like, you could lay down for $7.25.
Breathing qualifies.
Dude, humanity means, he's like, he just knew his worth when I was like, no. All that matters in life is that people know you're the hardest worker, and that's an addictive mentality. But anyway, we were on the last episode, we were going to resume the thing where we were talking about more, boom, boom, boom. What all was it?
Yeah.
Being happy about what you do.
Yeah, being happy about what we do. And like I said, the route that I've taken, because that's what you said, there's routes that other people have taken, there's routes that I've taken. The route that I took, first of all, I was super naive when I first started. I was like, the very first show I ever did, I rented a place that sat 1,500 people and thought, I can fill that up.
We should tape a special there in about 3 years.
Yeah. I can fill that up. And I sold 200 tickets.
Which is crazy.
Which was really, really good.
And this was your first open mic, essentially.
Yeah. I'd never, never been on stage before. I did an hour, my first time on stage. I did it in a place that sat 1,500, only sold 200 tickets. And I say only sold 200 tickets because that's still really good.
No, that is really good.
Except when you've got them in a room that seats 1,500, 200 is still empty.
Yeah, 200 here would be 4 shows.
Yeah.
That were fucking nuts. And your overhead on this would be, give me the host spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'd be like, yeah, dude, I'll take, like, you could take all the money. If you could sell 200 tickets to do whatever you wanted here, as long as you clear it on the schedule and I get to host, I wouldn't even want to cut.
Yeah.
You rent out a theater, didn't work out, but how much shit did you learn that day?
Yeah, a ton. And then I toyed with comedy for, you know, like 9, almost 10 years, just doing it when I could,
right,
and making stuff fit. And every once in a while, I might do 3 shows in a year, but I never went and hit open mics. I just always created my own shows. And then all of a sudden one day I was like, man, this is really what I want to be doing. And the only way I can make that work, the only way that I can make it work, because I'm an all or nothing person. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. It doesn't matter. Like, if I owned a garage door business, that's all I did. When I worked in casinos, that's all I did. Like, no matter what I do, I put 80 hours a week into it. So that doesn't leave time for a hobby.
Right.
So I was like, is comedy going to stay a hobby? I don't want it to. I want to do this full time. I talked to my wife about it. She's like, you better make it work. Like, just on her pay, it's going to be a struggle. But I decided, and that's what we did. And we're still, so and I've been doing that for the last year and a half, almost 2 years. Of course, right when COVID happened is when I decided to take the leap. That was a bonehead move. Call me lucky. So in the last year and a half to 2 years, we've made enormous strides past it, 2 comedy clubs. Several sold out shows. I mean, things are going really good, but it's still, every day is a struggle.
Right.
Every day is, hey, I hope my wife gets a couple hours of overtime because, like, we're going to need it, you know?
Well, I'm trying to sell you that revolver, too.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And then Andrew put stuff out there, and I'm like, man, that's really nice. Oh, you want to buy it? Dude, I can't afford gas to come pick it up.
I'll do 20 a week. But no, like, that whole thing, it's everybody I've ever talked to that has anything I would say is worth having has struggled in some way to get it. It might be financially. For sure. It might be they just worked really hard. And when you say you're all or nothing and I said same, I should say I used to be. Now I am 20% tattoos, 20% comedy, giving equal effort in comedy in my actual job.
Right.
And 60% just trying to make sure my kids don't grow up without me noticing what was happening.
Right.
Which is like, at this phase, I'm at the fucking sweet spot where it's terrifying because my oldest is 12. She works with me now. That's not quality time, but it's time. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's something. And I think it'll be cool.
Because my oldest is 23. Right. And there's a daughter as well. It might not seem like quality time to you right now,
but it matters.
In the future, there are going to be some amazing moments that happen at work between you and her.
Every time I talk to older guys that have daughters, especially, like whether it's, and I don't even mean older, meaning
I definitely just got lumped into it. To older guys who have daughters.
You could hear me backpedaling as you said that. I was saying people that have been fathers longer than me. But no, like every now and then, like when Brylan was like six, yeah. I was taking her to the bathroom somewhere where like the guy wasn't watching us pee. But like we're walking out of the bathroom after she washed her hands. She said something cute and I was talking to her and he goes, "Keep it like that. It goes really fast." I didn't even know what he meant at that time. I mean, I knew what he meant, but I didn't. It wasn't in there, if that makes sense. And then, like, fast forward 2 or 3 years, and I'm like, I'm still working 80 hours a week. I know what he means.
Yeah.
And now it's such a thing, like, everybody's like, oh, dude, you never have time for this. You never fucking text me back. I'm like, no, I don't. And I'll just tell you straight up, I don't have time for that. Like, I think I do a pretty good job of it. Like, yeah. I value the things I value. I think comedy one day is going to pay off great for me and my kids. If it doesn't, I'm not willing to take the gamble right now with where my kids are that I'm going to dedicate 40 and 40.
Right.
Which is what I would have to do to say I'm really trying 100% to pursue comedy at. And I mean, that's still not 100%. 100% would be quit your job.
Yeah.
Nobody's doing that. That shit's scary as fuck. Yeah. But like the people that have, I mean, you can, every musician, every whatever, there's always a cool story. And I have an obsession with Rick Rubin, the producer.
Mm-hmm.
His isn't so crazy, but like he basically gave up Def Jam Records for creative differences. He was like, yeah, I'll do another thing later. Y'all can just fucking, I don't know what the financial side of it was. I don't really care, but it's like your name's on this thing. You fucking asked Def Leppard for permission. They said, cool. They could have got some money out of it somehow. I don't know how the Def spelt the way it is.
Right.
But the whole thing is you've done all this shit. You've built this mini empire. And then one little creative difference that just cannot be resolved. You go, well, I'm a producer. I'm not a label owner. Who gives a shit? It's the same concept as like getting rid of one of my shops and shrinking down. Like, I think a lot of people think getting rid of one of my shops is a failure, where I would actually claim it as my biggest success so far. And that sounds fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But like a step down financially and a step towards where I actually want to be. And then recognizing my phone and marketing habits as an addiction, tattooing as an addiction, and money as an addiction, I think are steps to what I want to be. I'm not where I want to be. But where I want to be, my goals are all get all this shit done with the kids right now while they're young. That way I won't feel bad about it when they're closer to your kids' ages and I'm like, all right. We're going in, dude. I'm not going to see you for 3 weeks. Like,
yeah.
Because if somebody right now said, hey, you want to come open for me in Australia? I'd be like, I don't care who you are. That sounds great. Can I bring my kids to Australia? And can I afford it? What's my credit card limit? Like, I'm just looking at, can I figure out a way to do it with the kids?
Right.
If I can't, it's a no. Fast forward till my youngest Mila, she's 7. Fast forward till she's 16, 17. I'd be like, FaceTime's pretty cool. On my way. Because, like, by then, we should theoretically have established that relationship where she knows I'm still a phone call away.
Yep.
She knows what I would say. She knows what I would do. Where with my dad, like, I can tell you what he would say. It would basically be pick the thing that makes you the most money and you're going to hell. And that's it. And like, that's not, that's, it's not a great feeling, you know? Yeah. Like, so yeah. I'm just saying, like, I talked to a ton of fucking comics and the all in thing. I'm under the impression that when you were doing your last job, the fact that your son's now doing it implies that you showed him how to do it, which means he probably helped you out a little.
Yeah, yeah.
and you had the freedom to go, okay, I'm working 80 hours a week, but half of it's working at home. Half of it's like, oh, the kids are off today. I'm going to take one kid with me for this job that's really easy, I assume.
Yeah.
Most people we know have never had that as an option, much less done it. And right. The people who do have it as an option usually don't realize it's an option. So I'm just now getting to the point where I'm like, all right, she's 12. Some weird shit happens at tattoo shops. She's seen confrontation. She's seen a little conflict. If somebody comes in and I have to, you know, walk them out, it's not a big deal. The odds of her seeing something crazy here, very slim. Tattoo shops aren't what they used to be.
Right.
When I was working in Wichita Falls, I did not like it when they came to see me at work because, like, meth heads came in every day. There were physical fights in the parking lot. People got arrested in the parking lot a lot. People got arrested across the street. People got shot right behind the shop.
Yeah.
Now they get shot after we close here. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, a death at midnight doesn't count. But the whole thing is, like, I think I have a thing, and it might be an excuse, but I have a thing where I look at, like, the perfect comedy career is meaning I can have fun doing comedy and provide for my family doing comedy and spend the exact amount of time that they need plus 10% with my family. And I don't think many comics get that. But I think if you start where you're closer to the ages we started at, I think it's likely that you can actually go, if you do it right, this is the perfect career, because you go, okay, I work Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Sometimes I'm flying on Wednesdays. I take off one whole week every month. You're basically not fucking working. And then if you want to, when your kids are teenagers and shit, you could take any one of your kids right now. If you had to fly to Vegas for a week, you'd take your kid and be like, all right, I'm going to the club, watch whatever's on TV. If you want to watch porn, do it on your phone. You know, don't fucking pay Vegas prices.
Don't charge
it
to the room.
Yeah. And that's it. Yeah. And only don't do that because the fucking seller is the one paying for my porn. And I don't want them thinking I'm a fucking weirdo because I was watching porn while I was at the work thing. I'm working for them and watching. That's not good. But no, it's like, all that, I think people leave out the shit that I think most people, you ask them and you actually talk to them, they really do find family important, time with their kids important. They don't want to neglect anything. They really do. But then there's societal pressure to earn the most money and do the most shit. And I see more comics kind of fucking up their lives by working so hard, pursuing it, because we all have jobs. Like, if it was one thing, like, 40 hours a week, I think is great. Like, I'm not saying if you're working 65 hours, you're a bad dad.
Right.
I'm saying if you're working 65 hours plus 65 hours, you're going to regret it later. You might still be a great dad.
For
sure.
You
just might later on realize what all these guys that have been fathering for a little longer than me but are not old have told me. And, like, if you just keep your fucking eyes open to it, you keep seeing it. And for some reason, especially with daughters, I don't know what that is. I think it's just like I tattoo broken women all the time and they're talking about their relationships with their dads. And then I tattoo dudes and they're like, dude, I saw my dad 6 times when I was a kid. Now I go to massage places to get jerked off. But other than that, I'm good.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, it's like, dude, honestly.
It is. Relationships between dads and daughters are definitely different.
It is different.
Let me backtrack a little bit on you. I think because I'm close enough to your situation, I definitely see how you condensing to one shop was a step in the right direction. Right. I also would say that you're probably, of all the people that I know, you're probably the best time manager that I know.
Which is funny.
But I also know that you are actively working on time management all the time.
Yes. Yeah, I put more effort into time management than I do anything.
Right. And I know that the comfort of being able to cut back on tattooing a little bit so that you can put a little bit more towards comedy without taking away the family time.
Right.
How many years of tattooing did it take you to get to that point, though?
A lot.
Right.
So to go where, okay.
Like, so when you started tattooing, let's say 5 years into tattooing. Let's go, I don't know how long you worked other places before you owned your own shop.
Not long.
Okay, so let's say 5 years into you owning your own shop,
okay,
you couldn't have also pursued comedy
no.
and had anywhere close to the time management that you have now.
I would say the amount of time I had, first off, my shop was 5 years in, was still in Wichita Falls, I think.
Yeah.
It's about the time I moved it. But let's just say we're in Wichita Falls. That's already 45 minutes both ways. I'm driving 90, so maybe a little less. I'm getting pulled over on average 40 times a year. That's almost once a week. I'm not joking. I had one year where I got 40 warnings before I got a ticket. And they were like, why are you going so fast? I'm like, I woke up at 10, drove straight to work. It's 3 a.m. I don't know, dude.
I'm just trying to get home.
They're like, you don't seem like you're lying. Slow down, have a good night. And like most cops are cool about it. But the thing is, like, they're the night cops. They're already, they're just like, I just want to get back to fucking jerking off. But to make a living doing tattoos, when you work on this, I got to see what walks in thing, means half your day is fucking waiting. But you can't not do that waiting or you're not going to make money.
Right.
You can't go in at 3 and go, I think the business starts at 4 or 5. You have to go in at noon and go, hopefully somebody has Tuesdays off. And then when it picks up at 4 or 5, 5 times in a row, if you get it in your head that that's when business starts, I had a guy that worked for me that's how he thought. He thought nothing good ever happens between these hours, like we're never busy. So he just like kind of take off. And it's, as a tattoo artist, like I can tell you as the owner, you have to be here from this time to this time. But as a tattoo artist, it's really like, you're not costing me shit, but the space, and I don't feel like replacing you anyway. Who gives a shit? Go make less money, because I'll make more money, because I'm not booked. But the way it worked back when I was new, I would go in, I would sit, I would watch fucking... There was a point where it was Breaking Bad, so we'll say, watch Breaking Bad. Draw a bunch of shit. Post everything you draw and go, I hope this works, I hope this works. That'd be the same as joke writing. Drawing is joke writing.
Right.
It builds your skills. It gets you ready for the thing. But if you have nobody to tell your jokes to, it feels pointless, but it's not. And then you get to a point where you're making, you know, $200 or $300 a day, which sounds great. But you go, oh, my old job, I didn't have rent. I didn't have a $300 to $600 power bill, depending on how shitty my building is this month. So really that $300 is like, that's just gas for the month. And then your next one's just power for the month. And then your next one's just a quarter of your rent. And your next one's another. So the first 15 fucking days you're working, you're just
alive. Trying to break even.
You're just alive. That's right. It. Then after that, guess who's really fucking hustling? Because you go, this is my money now.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to. I don't think there's a way around the work. I really don't. So I'm not trying to discourage anybody and be like, you're a fucking piece of shit for neglecting your kid. I was at work 90 plus hours every week. For fucking ever. If you do the math, which I don't like to do, that means if you include driving, I can't sleep. I went, I think, 6 years where only one night per week. I always had Sundays off. That's always been like a solid rule. Just seems like a good move. I'll pick up a Sunday, like if the kids are going somewhere, like they're going camping and it conflicts with my schedule, so they'll be gone on a Sunday, I'm going to work that Sunday. But other than that, I'm not working Sundays. So other than Saturday to Sunday, I never got more than maybe 3.5 to 4 hours of sleep. And I mean for years.
Yeah.
I literally started losing my mind. I'm not exaggerating at all. I mean, I was hallucinating every day. Like when I'm driving home, I would just see shit. Just see shit float. And it happened to me a couple months ago. I was like, oh, fuck, slow down again. I saw a sign in the middle of the road that wasn't, it's obviously not there.
Right.
Like I know Cash Road. There's a sign floating. I'm like, oh, fuck, that's, don't do that. I got to that point. For fucking ever. That being said, the reason I was only getting that much sleep, I was still taking my kids to school when I could. I was still waking up and playing with them for an hour before work. You know, just something.
Yeah.
I would wake up. Brylin, when she was little, she would just wake up and get a cheese hot dog, like the ones that have cheese injected. She'd get a napkin, a cold hot dog, walk to the couch. I'm talking 2 years old. Get a fucking hot dog, walk to the couch, sit down, turn on whatever the show was at the time. I want to say it was like Bubble Guppies, maybe.
Yeah.
She'd just fucking jam out to that and wait until I wake up. She was the fucking coolest kid ever. I'd get up and I would be like, oh, fuck, I gotta go to work. I only saw you for 30 minutes today. And it, like, at least I was in I was aware of that.
Yeah.
It hurt to leave to work. And then you fast forward to my career's doing okay. I got really confident that I can do, you know, 3 days a week or whatever. So started doing 3 days a week with occasional fourth day. And that left a lot more time for comedy. Then I had to fire a bunch of fucking people.
Yeah.
And I was, to break even, relying on their income. I wasn't relying on their income to pay my bills. But, like, to not lose money on having two shops. And I could, when I had seven people working for me, or six people working for me, seven including myself, I could have not worked at all, technically.
Yeah.
And been totally fine. I'd basically be making, you know, probably half of what I make right now if I wasn't working at all. But then I wouldn't be having any fun. There would be no, like, reason to take vacation, and it would feel weird. But it was perfect for comedy. but you keep moving that fucking needle and looking at how shit goes. There's never a point where you're satisfied with everything. It's money, whatever your work is, you're never in that spot.
Right.
So knowing that spot is a fallacy, that it doesn't exist, that retirement, that like sitting on the beach and going, I did it. It doesn't exist. Knowing that means do shit where it feels like that while you're doing it, that makes you money, or in the comedy's case, just makes me happy.
Yeah.
So like tattooing, I still fucking love tattooing. Like people are always like, oh, do you like comedy more than tattooing? I think I do because it's new. I think the novelty of it makes it more fun.
Right.
I know I like it more right now. If you said, which do you want to do? I'm paying you $1,000 for a tattoo, or $1,000 to fly to Vegas, do a 20-minute set, stay for 2 days, and lose money, I'd be like, that's tough. That's really tough. Let me decide. I'm going to look at my bank account real quick. And the bank account would decide, honestly. Like, because it's new. I don't think it's better. I mean, I don't know. You'd have to see somebody's face when you do a good job. Mm. Like, it's the same concept as seeing 100 faces laughing at the same time. You go, holy shit, that guy forever now is happy. Like, he's not literally happy forever, but I made his arm look so cool.
Yeah.
He's going to get 20 times the amount of pussy, and that's all that matters to some people. And, like, I mean, if that's what they're after, that's what I gave them. Like, if I tattoo a Marine, I literally itch just to get them laid, and it works. And it might be vain, but it makes me really happy. So, like, there's still tons of fulfillment here tattooing. And then I just try to figure out a way to, like, okay, how much am I indulging? How much am I, like, so one or two sets a week in comedy, 4 days a week tattooing. If the kids are doing something that conflicts with my schedule where I already have appointments, they're going to be out of town, then tattoo 6 or 7 days in a row and really fucking hustle. And then take 2 days off next week. One of those, comedy after 5. The other one, phones off. And, like, that's all working right now. But if you ask any of my kids, like, Mila probably thinks I haven't seen her in a year. I was hanging out with her until 2:30 today, or 2, or whatever time it was. 1 something. I don't fucking know what time we got here. Around, we'll say 1:30. Brylin sees plenty of me because she works with me now. She's like, dinner would be nice. And then Asher's just like, come watch me play Fortnite. We're cool. Like, it's not, it's not as complicated as we make it, but it's like, you're never, I never will see my kids enough. I never will have enough money. I never will have enough rest or peace. And I will never have enough people in a room watching me laugh for 3 shows in a row.
Right.
Like, it doesn't matter. And just like, in knowing that, we should be able to chill out. And I can't.
Yeah.
Like, but you it's like, it's all a fucking facade. I sound like a stoner right now.
I'm to the point now where I don't feel like my kids are giving me enough attention.
I agree with that.
My daughter's 23. You know, she works. Matter of fact, she just started a second job today. She works two jobs.
Trying to get the fuck out of that house.
Dude, she's like, she's going hard, really doing good for herself. I got my middle son, he's 20 years old, lives out on his own, him and his fiance. And then my youngest is 16, who, you know, he's a 16-year-old boy. He's always running and gunning and, you know, hanging out with the guys or whatever. And I'm like, damn, don't you guys want to just hang out with me for a little while?
Well, and that's the thing. That's what I've been talking about this whole time. Is like, I know that's coming.
Yeah.
I don't know when, but I know that shows up. And the thing is, like, you still have obviously a really good relationship with your daughter. I don't see you interact with any of your kids enough to know, but I can tell you for sure. Your daughter's 21, 22?
23.
23? Okay. Most 20 to 25-year-old daughters don't spend any time with their dad.
Right.
And, like, if you said, hey, I'm buying you lunch, and she's not at work, y'all are having lunch.
Yeah.
And, like, that's – it sounds really minor and very, really easy to achieve, but it's not. And that's all I want. Like, that's – I just want to make sure that happens. And, like, when my kids need advice, they go, dad's not going to fucking tell me what he would do. He's going to tell me what he thinks should be done.
Yeah.
Like he's not going to tell me, oh, well, back in my day, we didn't fucking, you know. Like,
yeah.
Because that's the thing. Like, every parent I know, that's the biggest thing that gets in the way of their relationship with their kids. Their kid can't come to them with anything. Because, like, okay, I can ask my dad for financial advice. I can ask my mom for anything. She'll tell me what the Bible says. And I can ask my dad for financial advice, and he'll give good advice. I can't ask my parents for literally any other piece of advice. If I said, especially if it was like sexual or, you know, like if I was having a problem with like, I mean, they kind of know I'm not religious, but like if I said, you know, I just have this weird thing where I don't think anything exists. Like I guess I'm an atheist. I don't know.
Yeah.
There wouldn't be a discussion about it. There wouldn't be like a, well, why do you think that? What's going on? And my parents are aware of this. Like, it's not like I'm not saying anything. They'd be like, oh, he's such a crazy kid out there spitting lies. Like, my dad would be the first to tell you if one of us came out as gay or said we're questioning our religion or whatever, he would probably be willing to talk to us about it. But he would just tell us we're wrong because that is the only thing that exists in his world is
right.
You're wrong in this case. Like, whatever. And if it's something that I would say is like, well, I mean, religion and God and all that is something everybody struggles with. My dad disagrees. There yeah. is a God. You were wrong, period. There's no options. There's no other gods.
There's no conversation.
There's
to be
no
had.
Yeah. And there's no like this other religion sounds more like what I believe. It's literally this is it. That being said, I know my dad loves me because he gave me one of those. It's a vitamin pack that if they blow up a fucking nuclear weapon in Dallas, I take these. The radiation doesn't kill me. I don't know what it is, but that's my dad's way of saying I love you. That's our weird relationship. He goes, hey, this is for you and the kids. If there's the nuke, everybody swallow these.
So your dad believes in the placebo effect, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't going to say that, but I was like, damn, Dad. What's happening?
Wow.
That's all. We hit that 25, so we're trying to wind down now, and I talked through this whole one. So
I'm gonna... real quick, I'll do. This is the only thing with my daughter. Is obviously she's grown. So one of her jobs, she's a bartender, so she works in bars. She's around some rough folks. When she talks now, I'm like, can't you just be that just sweet little girl again? Yeah. But she's like, Dad, you're not going to fucking believe what I fucking heard today. And I'm like, I don't believe what I'm fucking hearing right now. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's going to be weird.
So that's the one thing. But it is very much like the guy told you, you know, when he saw you with your daughter at a restaurant. Like, it's so fast.
Yeah.
It's so fast. But every age is fun. Because as your kids get older, you can tell them more shit.
Right,
you can be a little more grown up with them.
Yeah, like
you can get them, you can talk them into doing
shows.
Dumb shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
You can be like, hey, dude, eat this. And they're like, I'll eat it.
Dude, both of my boys will eat just about anything for a fucking dollar.
Right.
I'm like, you're a moron. But I got a dollar.
I only have one boy, but I got $20.
Yeah.
I'll hook him up. But yeah, that's all like... So it goes fast, the kid phase.
Yeah.
But if you keep a good relationship with your kids, it's not over when they're 18.
Right.
And that's the thing, like, I'm trying to figure out how to keep that going. Like, I feel like my oldest and I, we have a great relationship. My son and I, great relationship. The 7-year-old, I make her a lot of hot cocoa. Like, I don't know. I talk to her. She's just running shit. Like, I'm just like, all right. Yeah. We don't get along the same way the other two do because she's 7.
Yeah.
It's not like we're not going to, but it's like she just wants what she wants. She needs it now and whatever. And like, I tried to sleep in till 8:30 today. I went to bed at like, I don't know, 3 and 1 the last two nights. I figure 8:30 is probably reasonable. Mila's going, Dad, can you get up and make me hot cocoa? It's 8. I mean, it's not like you're not being crazy. Like, I normally will do this. And I was like, can you just hang out? She's like, can you make me hot cocoa, please? I'm like, just give me a little. And Brandy wakes up and goes, Mila, seriously, can you just give him a minute? And she walks off. She wasn't like, she didn't do the pouty, like throwing a fit. She was, you could tell she genuinely was like, I just want somebody to make me a fucking hot cocoa. And these motherfuckers. And the way she walked off, I was like, all right, I'll get up and make you a fucking hot cocoa, dude. But the thing is, like, it's not the hot cocoa. She doesn't even give a shit about the hot cocoa. And the fact that I know this with the third one and I didn't with the first one, I think is magic. She wants me to do something for her and sit down next to her and watch TV with her. It has nothing to do with hot cocoa.
Right.
That's the thing she figured out. I can't make it because it's hot and it's up here. Dad's the only one that can make it for me because mom's just going to be like, bruh, it's 8:30. And mom does all this shit while dad's at work. I can definitely get dad to do this sometime, but it is her subtle way of saying, I want more time with you one-on-one, so I can't say no. And then you tell other people, oh, she's spoiled. Well, that too, but
yeah,
if spoiling my kids with fucking making them hot cocoa and watching TV with them is a bad thing, you can eat a dick. You know?
Right, it's like, for sure.
Like, I think the sugar's the worst thing about that, not me getting up. I will say I'm not pleasant in the morning, so I don't know why she likes this.
Maybe she's trying to set your day up.
She's like, maybe. Like, she's trying to bring her little fucking sunshiny disposition to me. She also looks like a little bit of a curmudgeon in the morning, though. She's like,
Coco, Dad needs this.
Yeah, dude, because I get the fucking man Coco with the fucking French press. French press and bath bombs, dude.
I'm telling you.
Bougie.
He's rocking along.
Bougie.
All right. How are we ending this one?
This is, it's enough of that shit. Episode 3.
Bye.